This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the Live Feed, we visit with two musicians that hope to take a winter tour sometime next year to the West Coast where the weather is warm. Aja Gildersleeve has been singing and playing guitar since she was 16. Kelly Mason began playing the trumpet in junior high and has been into jazz and classical music ever since. Aja and Kelly met in Winona and began playing shows last summer. The duo is eager to record an album and know how important it is to follow your heart. We go now to the KQAL studio where the ladies were interviewed before an in-studio recording. Hi, I'm Lisa Ostrander, and you guys are listening to the Live Feed here on KQAL. And we are here with Aja Gildersleeve and Kelly Mason. So usually how we do it is you guys just want to give a brief introduction. You can just say your first name and where you guys are from and what instruments you play.
I'll go first. I'm Kelly Mason. I'm currently in the town of Winona, but I'm from Rochester. I started off playing the trumpet about 10 years ago, and that's my primary instrument. I also experiment on guitar and the set.
And I'm Aja Gildersleeve. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota, but I'm going to school here in Winona. I was actually born in California, West Covina, Southern California.
And lucky duck.
Yeah, it's nice there right now, probably like 70 degrees. But I play the guitar, and I experiment on other instruments like the banjo and the harmonica, but I'm trying to stick to vocals and the guitar right now.
Right on. So when did you guys first start getting into the music realm? Like, how old were you, or you know, what did you start playing, and when did it all the creative realms begin?
Wow.
I know, that's a tough one.
I would say I used to watch Degrassi, and that was when I was in like eighth grade, and I saw that they were starting a band on there, and I'm like, that is so cool. And so in eighth grade, I wanted to play, and I would get, my stepdad bought me this electric guitar, and I would just strum on it. I didn't plug it in. It was not tuned, and I would strum and sing John Mayer and random songs and thought I was so good, and it was so out of tune, and it was so bad. And then I finally picked up an acoustic electric in high school, and I was in 10th grade. And now I'm 21 years old, so I've been playing for quite a while, I would say.
Well, I started when I was pretty young. I'd say 7th grade, and I didn't make a note on the trumpet for about a week when I first started. I didn't understand the concept of blowing through it and buzzing. And so, you know, after that, things took flight, but before that, it took me a while to understand the basic dynamics of the horn. So
that's a hard one. I've tried to do it. I'm not very good yet. I'm sure if I practice hard enough, but you know.
Yeah, it's all about the practice.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Most definitely.
So but the next thing on my list is a saxophone. I don't know how to play the sax.
That's a lovely
probably
instrument.
A tenor sax.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
So what would you guys describe your music style as?
I would say it's different. We started out doing Beirut covers. Like, you know, the two songs we did, Nunts and Forks and Knives. Kelly and I together, our style is based around Beirut. She has the trumpet, and that kind of adds. What would you say that adds, Kelly?
Eclecticness.
I feel like I'm in Italy sometimes when we're playing Beirut songs. I feel like I'm sitting in a outside cafe in Beirut, and we're kind of like,
I see the ferry
going by, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it reminds me of that. Like, I don't really know what genre to place us in, because the original songs that we write, Girls and Boys and Keep On Up, they're more political songs, like the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And the music style comes second. It's more the lyrics.
So do you write the lyrics before you make the music to it?
No, actually, I'm horrible at that. I would take my guitar and just experiment with different sounds on there. I don't even know music theory. I just mess around. I'm self-taught, so I'll just come up with a repetitive beat and then come up with the lyrics afterwards. Like Kelly, it was interesting because Boys and Girls, we actually wrote together, and we were just sitting there, and I was in one of my classes, and we talked about gender roles. And so we were thinking about stuff, and Kelly wrote the first verse, and then I like fed off of that and wrote the second verse. And
right on. That reminds me of when I was in high school, I was writing a book with a friend, and we would switch off chapters, and then we would each name the other person's chapter. Without reading
awesome.
It was fun.
That's great, because then you know when you, it's hard to get writer's block then, because it's like, you know, you're feeding off of each other.
And exactly. What would you guys say then are some of your major influences then? I would assume Beirut is.
Yeah, Beirut for both of us for sure. Mm-hmm. For me individually, for acoustic, I'd say Sean Hayes. I love him. His lyrics are like, we go side and side with the lyric part. Music wise, I can't even think of who.
Yeah, it's hard to sum it up.
Beirut, City in Color, I like a lot. Lauryn Hill is my idol. Lauryn Hill, sure. For sure. And not only because she's black, like,
no, for like, sure, I hear
music,
it.
You know, like, yeah. like just because I'm black, you know, African American and what have you, people try to say, oh, you're like Tracy Chapman or you're like India Arie, when really, no, I don't agree. I would say if when they say Lauryn Hill, I'm like, yes, thank you. Like, definitely, that's the one black artist that I can, you know. But then again, I can't really say that because then there's some people that say I sound like Regina Spektor.
Yeah.
Which is, yes.
Yeah, so. I guess, you know, it's everybody's interpretation of the music.
Yeah.
You know,
and race has nothing to do with what you sound like at all.
I agree. Absolutely. So. Probably one of my favorite CDs in junior high was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. So brings me back.
Yeah, sure.
That was a high five for all of you that didn't get to see it. How about for you, Kelly?
I definitely say my roots lie in classical band literature, sadly, but true. No, it's a beautiful
boring
thing.
Do you like jazz? It seems like a little bit of jazz.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Jazz is definitely influential in what I've done as far as improvisation goes and being able to find the right notes with Aja. Also, I thought what was interesting was that the main guy from Beirut that also plays the trumpet, he was talking about in an interview I was reading about how he was really into jazz growing up, and he played a lot of jazz in high school. I think that's kind of cool how that correlates with my background, too.
So what would you guys say has been one of the most embarrassing moments you guys have had when playing on stage together?
You gotta tell him about that guy that was singing to her stuff, and we took it, and what was it? What is
oh
it?
My gosh.
The takeaway right. show.
It's really hard to embarrass. I'm really hard to get embarrassed because I'm right. just kind of awkward like that, and I love it. But Kelly and I were Second playing one. Down at Ed's No Name in here in Winona, and it was kind of like a low-key show. Not a lot of people were there. And there's this guy at the bar, this young guy, just obnoxious. He was just talking really loud. And like when people are talking, it's like, whatever, you're at a bar, I expect that. But it was overboard. And so I unplugged my guitar during Kelly was playing the trumpet. I was just playing the guitar. I unplugged during her trumpet solo. And then I'm like, Kelly, we're doing a takeaway show. So we walk down to the bar and we keep playing. And we're just
trying to sing with us.
We're like, we're around him. We're like, we're circling him, playing the song. Like, dude. And I'm like, hey, you know what? You should sing this part. Like, you're doing it pretty well. Cause he was really drunk. He was like singing something else. I'm like, you just sing the part. And I was trying to teach him how to sing the part. And then he was just totally lost. So then we took the show back on stage, and it was really, we embraced it. You know, it could have been bad, but just turned the situation around. And that was the beautiful thing about it. Had fun with the people at the bar and stuff.
Yeah, it's always good when embarrassing moments, or, you know, said to be embarrassing moments, can turn into an opportunity to get people involved. And so how about a really great moment that you guys had playing a show together? Oh. Maybe just one that was really epic, or you guys were on point together. Yeah.
I don't remember specifically what show it was, but it was one of the first times we did Keep On Up. It was at the house show. Yeah. Vigil too, though. But we really just pulled it together, and that's when we made it a cappella.
Really.
Yeah, and we just started screaming into the microphone.
We didn't even need the microphone because there was so much energy. We had a house show at Kelly's house on Main.
Okay.
And we had some bands from the city come and play in from Rochester. And there's people that were there for the music, like people that came to the show, this house show. And Kelly and I, and there's another guy that we play with, his name's Noah. We were playing this song, Keep On Up, our original, and it was so powerful in the room, the energy, that we didn't even need any instruments. We stopped the instruments, and we went a cappella, and people just started clapping with us and singing with us.
Right on.
And I feel like every moment that we have, it's best when the energy's there and the people are there for the music.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. So that's why it can be nice to play at a house show as opposed to at the bar.
At the bar, definitely.
So many people show up just to have drinks and things like that.
Yeah, definitely more intimate.
Or coffee shops, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I love playing at coffee shops too because it's more intimate as well.
And the overwhelming drunken vibe isn't taking over.
Yeah, I mean, if I was in like a punk band, I'd be like, yeah, the bars, you know, just have a few drinks and just rock out. And,
for sure.
You know, everybody's just doing their thing. But
So have you guys mostly just played local areas? Play shows around here? Do you travel at all yet?
We haven't even played in Rochester, have we?
Oh, yeah, we've definitely played in Rochester. We played at the North Star.
And we did.
Oh, okay.
And then we played at the Good Food Store.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay. But we started out in Winona, like June 3rd was our first show. We played at Latch Island.
June 3rd of this year?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That was our first show together.
I caught your first show.
Yes. You're awesome, Lisa.
I feel special.
No, you are. You're very special to us. But that was our first show together, And we've been playing mostly in Winona, yeah. We really wanted to do a tour this winter.
Like, that would be great. Like, touring in the winter. Now, that's pretty unheard of, but
oh,
that's where it's at,
yes,
too.
But we're going to go west.
Oh, there we go. See, that is where it's at.
And so, we were trying to not even plan. We were just going to go out there, wing it. Even if we didn't get shows, we were planning on playing on the streets.
Doing a little busking, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, busking, like, anywhere we can
any
play.
Any excuse to travel.
In the subway, on the bus stop, anywhere we can play music, we'd want to play and just network and meet people so that when we come back in the summer, we can be like, oh, we'll book a show somewhere because we met these people as we traveled. My advice is to do that to any musician. Like, play anywhere. You never know who you're going to run into and the people that are going to appreciate your music. And there's a lot of people out there that appreciate music.
Absolutely.
Live music.
I could see you guys jamming out in the subway.
Yeah.
That would be like one of those things where even if I was in a hurry to get to work, I would totally stop and just jam out for like 5-10 minutes.
And I love that. Just one person stopping to listen means the whole world to me. Like, that will make my whole week.
And exactly. That random, spontaneous encounter that's just like, it makes you feel so alive and it's something out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
To just be visible. I remember we played on the streets in Rochester. I did actually alone. I was playing music on the street actually with another kid that, a mentoring
big
thing.
Sister,
I worked
little
with a
sister
little boy. Mm-hmm. And it was his idea to go play music on the street because he was getting into playing hand drums and stuff. So he's like this 12-year-old boy. He's really good. He could pick up a rhythm. He was playing the hand drums, and I was playing the guitar, and we were on the corner by the Mayo Clinic, and during the lunch period, that's a big rush. And we raised, like, $46 in an hour, and
nice.
He's like, let's donate this to the animal shelter.
That was his idea?
That was his idea. He's like, let's take this to the animal shelter.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet, and it was an awesome moment. But then there'll be times where I'm playing on the street, too, and they just look at me like I'm begging for money or like I'm
an eyesore.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and just, I'm
or like
so
you're
invisible.
Crazy. Yeah.
And then it really degrades me and I don't like that feeling. But then again, when there's that one person that stops, it makes a whole difference.
The good makes the bad totally worth it.
Yep, exactly.
So you guys don't have any CDs yet, but you're thinking about maybe doing, well, obviously we're doing some recordings today in studio, which you guys will hear in a little while. Any future plans for recording? Any goals that you guys have set? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly's like not even looking because she knows I'm a procrastinator. And I've been playing music since I was 16 years old.
You're going to school right now. It's hard.
That's not an excuse. Because sometimes I like just pick up my guitar and play when I should be doing homework. So there's no excuse
right.
why I couldn't just record it, you know?
Yep.
And so,
procrastinating in all levels of life. Yeah.
I've been writing songs for a while, but I'm so scared to record.
We have recorded a song together. The happy birthday song for Nicole.
There we go.
My roommate,
we have
Nicole,
one song recorded.
Can I say her last name? Nicole Connor. She's my roommate.
Beautiful.
I love her. And we recorded a birthday song for her. And that's the only thing that's on CD right now.
Right.
Which
on.
Is really funny.
No, that's fun, though.
But, yeah.
She must feel pretty special to have the first recording of you guys ever.
I hope she does, because she deserves it, so... But yeah, that was really fun doing that. But I want to get into the studio as soon as possible, probably over a break, and then come out with this CD before Christmas.
Cool. That's
and
a good goal. That's a good goal.
You'll get a copy.
Yay! I'm excited.
The first. Well, the
well
copy.
You know, I don't need the first one. It's okay. Any copy
Any
is good
copy
enough
works,
for me.
Any copy works, right? It doesn't matter.
So if you guys could leave our listeners with one last phrase or word of wisdom, what would it be?
Kelly, you always have wisdom. What's yours?
My wisdom for today would definitely be, this is something that I remember, it's a quote from Into the Wild about how careers are 20th century inventions and how what really matters in life is what makes you feel alive.
Marx. Yeah.
Good.
I didn't mean to interrupt your vibe there. Keep going.
It's all about the energy that you create in the present moment and how that impacts people and how that impacts the future. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. And I would kind of delve into that and say kind of like about what you want to do and what makes you happy. It's not about sticking with the same thing for your whole life so you can work your way up on the food chain and make a bunch of money.
And you won't because there's a 1% that owns the whole 99%
exactly.
of the world.
Exactly.
So.
Dumpster divers for life.
And I'm glad that Kelly brought that up. And that's the thing, like, with me and Kelly, like, I feel like our minds are kind of intertwined sometimes. Like, she was thinking that, And that kind of goes along with my advice, which is you can do whatever you want to do. Like, don't let any element hold you back, because I never thought I'd be here in the studio doing an interview or doing music. And here it is. And that was my dream, and I went for it. And I don't care if I make it in the music business, if I make it famous, as long as there's real people listening to my music and, you know, liking it for the right reasons. And
musical integrity.
Integrity. Yeah, absolutely. Integrity. Pride and integrity. Yeah. Never a paycheck. That comes first, pride and integrity. So
it's a great way to see it. And I can only hope I can follow that regime for the rest of my life. Follow your heart before you follow the money, because the money will come after. Exactly. If you're doing what you love, the money will come.
Some Hostess bread in the dumpster. You know,
there we go. That works.
We can't get into dumpster diving if we don't explain it.
Dumpster diving. There we go.
Freeganism. Look it up.
Maybe that's for next.
That's
next
for a
interview.
Long time. Yeah. Sure.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Lisa. Absolutely. I really, really appreciate you having us in here and committing the time to do this interview.
I love doing what I do. TVs for mothers and kitchens for fathers. Crying.
fighting for girls, boys for dolls, and girls for trucks. Uptown, the streets in a calming way. Outside, stories of wine, suburban, of course, my childhood, forks and knives, and the hospital bed where I turned my life over and over again. Over and over. It's been February the 29th. The years leap, so you're only five. I never met anyone who was so alive. Wondering if you could ever be mine. Rochester to Minneapolis, you're leaving goodbye. You're leaving this town, but so am I. Oh, no, Winona, the cities. 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 I'll catch you on the train sometime. We could reminisce about the old times. Like when you convinced me to sit on the top of a train. It wasn't moving, so we just sat there and had a beer. I was afraid that if it were to move, we would land straight on the bottles that we threw. And then our bodies would just lie there as our spirits floated up into the air. But you don't believe in spirits or ghosts. So no, oh, oh no. Winona, the cities. 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 If you're not my soulmate, I would still like to use your sperm when I ovulate to create a black blue-eyed baby named Malachi C. Stephens the third.
We thank Aja Gildersleeve and Kelly Mason for coming to the KQAL studio for a live session. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.